to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber and his assistant, Lika, on the board. Interesting characters we have in the studio today, Lika and Matt Weber, talking on the way in, and interesting group. S&P futures are up 3.25 after a big, huge day yesterday to the upside. Dow futures up 45, NASDAQ futures up 22. Lou, how are you?
Very good, sir. How are you?
Well, it was a rough day yesterday, in some ways. With heavy heart, I had to send an email off to my two buddies from the Federal Reserve, who I've learned an awful lot from and are really good guys and I love spending time with, and I had to send them a letter saying I cannot be seen with boneheads anymore. And unless they're willing to wear full disguises and we go to a bar that's a lot less lit up, they're just out. What would that make me? Son of bonehead or student of bonehead if I went with them?
So that's interesting. Is that because of some kind of perceived conflict issue?
No. It's the president said the Federal Reserve was a bunch of boneheads.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, so I mean, I can do no less.
I don't.
He
I don't
is
think
my leader, right?
Since when did associating with boneheads become the bar for your extracurricular activities?
Well, now you had to go there, right? But I mean,
Matty, I would say it's pretty fair to say that there have been a fair number of boneheads associated with Chief and with this radio show, myself included.
Well, if you count all the knuckleheads I've played softball with through the years, I'd say yes. But still,
if the bonehead standard goes into effect, you could be pretty lonely, and so would I.
Well, but I mean, I've managed to tell everybody how much I've learned from these dudes and how brilliant these guys are when it talks to international clearing and banking and how you make sure that every check in the world that goes overseas, it comes this way, like clears in the same minute so no bank goes out in the meantime. And it's actually very fascinating stuff. I had no idea that they were boneheads, but I guess they are.
Well, you know, one man's genius is another man's bonehead.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah,
and,
I just...
And even geniuses are boneheads in strange situations.
So now Saturday, one of the guys, Bonehead Robert, is giving a bunch of stuff to this. These sisters on the West Side have whatever you want to call it. Like they do child care, they do teaching, they do everything. So it's kind of a outreach center. So of course, me with the Suburban, I'm lugging his stuff over there Saturday, and I got to tell him that we got to keep the window closed because I have the Secret Service car, so the windows are closed, but you got to wear a hat, you got to wear sunglasses. I can't be seen with you. Just saying, you know.
Okay. Well, I think you could probably safely continue your association with them with no loss of public confidence and no loss of their public confidence.
Ah.
At least that's my assessment.
Well, your buddy Greg,
my legal opinion.
Your buddy Greg says that by hanging around with boneheads, it makes us meatheads.
I don't know if I would apply that standard. I just, you're known to a certain extent by the company you keep, but you know the reverse is true as well. So I think you benefit them in a number of respects, and I think they definitely benefit you. So I wouldn't break off the association just based on one man's opinion.
Well, how low can we go in the Oval Office, and how low are the man supporters willing to go with them? In terms of just interpersonal,
Are you basing this on the fact that he calls the Federal Reserve people boneheads or something else?
Well, I mean, it's just getting worse by the day. I mean, who knows what he'll call them today?
You're not going to get any argument from me about the fact that I don't care at all for the way he conducts day to day business there, And you know, for better or worse, the American people, you know, voted for this guy, and he's in. So we've elected a guy who is a counterpuncher, who for whom every slight is personal, and the worst part about it, Chief, is that he's in a death spiral with the mainstream press, you know, the New York Times, the Wash Post, CNN. He's in a death spiral with them. They can't ignore anything he does, and he can't ignore anything they do.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. This idiotic thing with that stupid hurricane. I mean, you got to be kidding me that we are wasting time, and the mainstream press is jumping on this. And I mean, I'm sorry, it's personal. They take a personal delight in goading him because they know he'll respond, and he takes a personal delight in goading them because he knows they'll respond. And I don't know. We go back to that comment that you know, the way to defeat the president or to get around what the president does is to not act as crazy as he does.
Well, I would agree with that.
And the opposition can't do it.
Well, how do you go from Lou? How do you go from just like you say the personal attacks and the. But you know, the thing of it is every it becomes a story because people. You know, why does the head of NOAA send out a letter to people saying the thing? What I mean, but my concern yesterday, and obviously, I don't like the fact that people call people names at that level. I mean, okay, that's fine, but I'm not going to listen to everything the guy does, and I still think some of the stuff he does has been pretty good. And by the way, I still hope that some of the stuff the time he has left, whether it's 1 year or 5 years, he does better. I mean, you're right; the dude's the president. But I wonder. I mean, I've heard stories. You read stuff. Of course, you read stuff in the paper. The man never reads anything. He's convinced he has all the knowledge of everything in the world. You hit him with a topic, and his life experiences, you know, the school of hard knocks, is going to give him the proper, you know, like the Reagan thing. I just have this gut feel.
Well, let me just say that, you know, for better or worse, Chief, that's part of his appeal. I mean, he is authentic. He comes across, at least he comes across that way.
Okay, but
he doesn't come across as somebody who's being coached by handlers right and left every minute, and that's unfortunately part of the appeal.
But I guess my concern, Lou, and you've heard this all the time, but the thing yesterday, the economic piece of his statement is kind of what I'm getting to. Why don't we let interest rates go to zero? I can refinance everything at no money. I won't be paying interest rates, interest out. And we can like build roads and bridges. That's fine, Lou, if you're a second grade moron. But what has to happen for the rest of society to get there? It's like saying, I want to be able to get a massage from beautiful women for $5. Okay. That's one thing. That's nice if you look in the mirror and you only see yourself. But if you think for a second, wait a minute, what is the economy have to be like for somebody who's willing to give me a massage for an hour for $5? The place has to be down a rat hole. I mean, what has to happen?
Or there has to be a huge unemployment crisis.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Women.
I'm saying, so what has, if you're not paying any interest, it means that all the people in this country that loan you money aren't getting any interest. Now, is that a good thing? That the demand for money and the demand for construction and demand with new ideas is so low that people are willing to give you money for zero, or that the Fed has poured so much money into the system that you're going to have a Weimar Republic in terms of inflation. I mean, one of those two things has to happen. This does not happen in a vacuum. The $20 trillion worth of people give this guy money for zero. I mean, he has to know that as a president, I would think.
What he knows, and I've got a couple of topics I want to get
to.
We can talk a little bit about this. What he knows, Chief, is, you know, I'm the head of business here. I'm the CEO of a country, and doggone it, I've got control of certain things. People tell me I've got control of certain things, and I ought to exercise it. And his, you know, the rest of the country will sort it out. I mean, I honestly think that's the way he looks at things. You know, we've talked about the fact that he has no ideology. I mean, this idiotic proposal to cut vaping, you know, to eliminate flavored vaping options. Are you kidding? That's a federal issue? Give me a break. But that's his immediate reaction. I'm the CEO. I can fix this, and I understand it. I don't agree with it in the slightest, but I certainly understand it.
But Lou, what
he's doing.
But it's, I'm gonna let you get what you want to talk about. Just one more comment from me is, what's dangerous is if you don't read anything, you don't ask anybody anything, and you start making economic decisions or thinking you are. It's like me walking on a nuclear sub and trying to tell people how to run a reactor. I have no idea how to tell them. Now, if I was the right kind of person and I was on a nuclear sub, I'd study my behind off as much as I could and ask questions of people to maybe a year from now I could be of some help. But day one, I don't go out of my field and tell the guy.
It's actually worse than that. The situation you're alluding to is comparable to being not you just wandering onto a nuclear submarine, but you being chosen by the Navy to run a nuclear submarine. That's the analogy, because you arrive at the nuclear submarine thinking, I must know what I'm doing, otherwise the Navy wouldn't have picked me.
I must be an expert at this.
I mean, that's
the
mindset. You know, I got elected. I must know what I'm doing. I must be qualified. I'm elected. And in fact, that's a legitimate argument. You know, what qualifies you to be president of the United States is getting enough people to vote for you. And he did that. So he's quote qualified unquote under the terms of the Constitution. And unfortunately, or fortunately, or however you want to phrase it, he is not fazed in the slightest by the fact that he has never held a position like this before. This to him simply says, okay, I'm the CEO, I'm going to run things that way. That's the mindset.
But Lou, is this becoming, I think it is, and it's not just him. In fact, it's not. I think you listen to these, first it started out as sports talk radio. Now it's Twitter world or any other kind of talk radio, which, you know, we are, so it's not like it's, but people think, they actually think when they call in, they could be the general manager of the Cubs, or they could be the manager, or they could be the first base coach. No, you can't. Those people have been doing that for 25 years and know what they're doing. I mean, there are people who think.
But sports talk promotes that. And
right.
It promotes that because it sells advertising.
Right, I get
that. So you tolerate that kind of mentality because those guys are good for business. They call in, they rant, they rave, everybody listens to them, and then the advertisers come on. So that makes sense.
But when you start talking about, I mean, there's people that I talk to that are, whether they're Trump fans or not, they absolutely are convinced that they could be like president tomorrow. I mean, a good one. I mean, where you, all the knowledge you'd have to have. And I try my best to learn as much as I can. Lou, and I get all kinds of listeners sending me stuff, and I try and read all of it. Lou, I wouldn't know where to start. I couldn't tell you who the head of Libya was or this place. I mean, I can't imagine the gang I'd have to have around me.
Okay. So let's back up. The American people have categorically rejected policy wonks and policy experts as political leaders over and over again. Over and over again.
Well, the guy in the trailer park thinks he could be president. Well, nobody can't. I can't be. You couldn't be. I mean,
the guy in the trailer park or the guy in the downtown office who votes for whomever is not looking for a policy expert anymore. They're looking for somebody who understands people, who understands deal making, who comes across as reasonably authentic, and who's not going to just roll over with whatever whims of. And I mean, these are the guys I think that voted for the president, the people that voted for the president, who's not going to roll over for whatever. I will say this on the 2020 election, and I am just speaking for myself. I am not a single issue voter. I've never considered myself a single issue voter, but if the Democratic platform starts looking like some of the stuff that's coming out, you know, in these debates, there's no way I could vote for a Democrat.
I can't either.
If that is what they're going to be, if they're going to support third trimester abortions and late term abortions, you know, within a week of delivery, if they're going to support some of the other craziness that's coming out in these debates, I can't vote Democratic. I may not be able to vote for the Republican candidate, but I absolutely will not be able to vote for the Democratic
either.
One.
Because, you know, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I can't vote for that either.
I mean, like I said, this is, as somebody said, this is Trump's genius. He's dragging the level of discourse down with him But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think.
Both sides, the stuff is so friggin' old. I can't even. As I'm getting old, it's getting older. I mean, Trump has still got the old grumpy Republican white guys in suits that think that the world is only good if they get all the money. And the Democrats don't know what they're going to appeal to everybody and help everyone do it. And they're not going to have any fossil fuels. They're not going to have this. They're not going to have that. That doesn't work either, Lou. I mean,
there is no
policy that's workable. I don't think it's out there on either side.
No, it's bizarre. So anyway,
yeah, well, you said you had a couple things. What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk briefly about the Antonio Brown situation.
I was just going to say you want to talk about Antonio Brown. I'm going to lob this one out there, and you're my counselor, so I got to.
Go ahead.
This lady has accused the man of rape, and I wouldn't put it past him. You know, whatever. I don't know the man, but how did somebody get raped on three separate occasions by the same guy?
Over 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, how do you?
Yeah.
I don't see how that's possible.
I don't know, but I've tried cases. Trust me, I've tried cases where these are the allegations that you get, where you have somebody, and I mean, it's not rape, but this is Anita Hill. You know, Anita Hill alleged that when Clarence Thomas was nominated for the Supreme Court, she alleges that he sexually harassed her repeatedly over and over and over again, and she followed him from job to job within the federal government. And you're going, okay, Ms. Hill, at some point, doesn't the light bulb come on? And, I mean, if you want us to believe you, at some point, doesn't the light bulb come on? I don't know the details. I haven't read the civil complaint. But I will tell you, obviously, that allegation, those allegations are undercut by the fact that you would think that somebody who had been, quote, sexually assaulted, unquote, to use the term, once would not be hanging around this guy ever again.
At least, if you're not calling the police,
well, certainly wouldn't form a business association with him,
right?
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand exactly the nature, but I promise you, there will be. She will, in this current climate, she will be able to stand up and say, without the prosecutor or without a defense counsel going after her too hard, you know, this is what happened, and this is what he did, and a jury is going to be, if it goes to trial, a jury is going to be asked to take it on. I don't know. I mean, what I'm much more interested in is how the NFL responds to this. I mean, I know how his defense team's going to respond to it. He's denied it. They may try to settle it, but he's denied it, and they're going to put her up and say this. You know, the defense, as it's commonly known in crass terms, is sluts and nuts.
Yeah.
You know, either they were engaged in a willing sexual relationship that she consented to, or she's crazy. I mean, that's the typical kind of way you defend these kinds of cases. You know, it's consent or she's imagining it. That's how his defense team is going to characterize this. It'll be some variation of that, and we've already seen the consensual angle of it start to come out. Of course, who knows what's contained in text messages or emails that they've exchanged. Again, my experience is that generally email messages or text messages, a written record, generally serve to undercut a claim of sexual assault. So we'll have to see there. But what I'm really interested in is how the NFL is going to deal with this. I have a specific
question for you regarding this guy. Last week when he was being booted, leaving Oakland, whatever you want to call it. First of all, he hired a Twitter consultant. You could be one of those guys. They actually teach you how to, since now the court of public opinion is ruling the country, they teach you how to shape it. And they told him you have to publish the letter where they find you. You have to come out and say how disrespected you were for the fine and how bad it was and how they, you know, obviously they don't. But here's where I'm going with this. There was, in one of the articles I read, they claimed there was some piece of paper, some form, that Oakland could have filed with the league that would have prevented him from playing somewhere else this year. And then they didn't
do it.
What is that? What is that all about, do you know?
Well, they could have, Oakland simply could have, rather than releasing him, they could have kept him on, suspended him, and then refused to pay him for failure to perform. and they could have just kept fining him and fining him and fining him instead of taking game checks. They had already voided his salary guarantee. They could continue to do that and just not let him play.
Why didn't they do that?
Tell the league, or have the league tell the league we're suspending him for performance-based reasons, for conduct detrimental. He's not going to be allowed to play. We're not going to keep him in, and he would not have been able to take the field, and he wouldn't have been able to go anywhere else. Instead, they cut him loose, and for the life of me, Gruden won his first game. For the life of me, I don't understand Gruden. If I were Mike Mayock, I would be making an example out of this guy. If he's not going to play for you, you might as well make an example out of him. And I don't understand why they didn't do that. But in any event, honestly, Chief, they may have picked up on the fact that this sexual assault thing was sitting out there. And it would not have been, I would have expected a demand letter to come from this woman's attorney before they filed the lawsuit. It wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders were aware of it and they said, you know what, this guy is a black hole. He is sucking in everything that gets near him. And it goes into another universe. So we're going to get rid of him and he can go be, a black hole somewhere else. I think the Patriots were totally blindsided on this. So the question now becomes, the Oakland released him, so they don't have any obligation to the Patriots. The question I've got is, what did the Pittsburgh Steelers know when they traded him? Did they know this was sitting out there? There could be some failure to disclose requirements there.
Allegedly the Patriots offered the Steelers the number one draft pick for him, and they said no.
Yeah.
And then they ended up with a 3 and a 5 from Oakland, right?
Yes.
Which in today's world, the 3 and a 5 aren't bad. I mean, you can get players there. There's only 7 rounds now, right, or 8 or something.
Yeah. No, they could get some players for him. I'm just thinking that, Pittsburgh looks smarter and smarter and smarter on this whole deal. And they got what they could for him.
All right, Lou, hold that thought, buddy. We got to go to break. SP Futures up 4. NASDAQ Futures up 28. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Lou Michaels. We also have Leica on the board. Matt Weber hovering around, making sure she's straight and narrow over there. S&P futures up 475. NASDAQ futures up 30. Dow is up 55. A lot of this is because we've delayed $250 billion in tariffs of China for a couple of weeks as a gesture of goodwill because it's the 70-year anniversary of communist rule. I'm not so sure what that has to do with anything, but the bottom line is we've delayed them and maybe give us a chance to do something before the talks in October and maybe make some progress here. Although it is every time we reclaim we're making progress, the market runs up 300 points, and then maybe we're not making progress, and that's getting a little old, but still we'd like to see a resolution, obviously. DAX up 16.1%, FTSE down 3, call that flat. CAC down 36 cents, so that's flat. So Europe is not giving any clue this morning. Although today Draghi is supposed to come out with some huge new stimulus plan. I don't know what he's got up his sleeve. They already own half the bonds in the whole place. I don't know what he's planning on doing, but I think their whole policy is horrible, but that's just me. Nikkei up 161.7%, Shanghai up 22.7%, Hang Seng down 71.3%. We've got bonds, we've got the U.S. 10-year 1.72. Again, it's quite a, it doesn't seem high, but it's a lot higher than under 150 it was a couple weeks ago, so that's a pretty serious comeback. The Bund down is minus 0.58. Again, it's absurd number, but it's better than the 0.79. Japan minus 0.20. It was minus 0.24 for a real long time, so that's come up as well. Oil is continuing. Well, it's backing off a little this morning. It's down 56 cents. 55 bucks. It was up yesterday morning, but they got clobbered during the day. And yesterday we were doing the show. It was $58, so it's down, I'm going to say 2-3% from yesterday morning. Brent is $60. That's down 80 cents. Natural gas, 2.52. RBOB, 1.54. Gold is back up a little, back up 8 bucks, 1511. It ducked under 1500 very briefly and held, and now it's going back up again. Silver up 12 cents, 1829. Somebody over there do traffic, weather, and sports. I don't know whose turn it is.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash already on Lakeshore Drive northbound just before the Oak Street curve that's blocking the right lane. Monroe to Hollywood is up to 25 minutes, and that's continuing to grow, so expect some congestion heading northbound on Lakeshore Drive. No issues coming in on the Edens. Traffic building on the Kennedy out near O'Hare, but nothing out of the norm there. Same with the Eisenhower. We do have an issue on the Stevenson. Looks like we have a crash on the outbound side just before Harlem. That's causing delays. Inbound side looks okay, just normal traffic volumes for a Thursday morning. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Off the expressways, there's a crash in the northern burbs, Toohey Avenue at Lehigh Avenue. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, could have some rain on and off, possibly a thunderstorm. We'll cool off once the rain clears this afternoon, and we'll see a little bit of sunshine. A high in the upper 70s, 76 by the lakefront. Right now it's cloudy and 67 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 101 today. Right now it's clear and 79. In sports, Cubs, after scoring 8 runs and losing the night before, they were shut out last night. Couldn't get anything going. It was 1-0 late in that one, and then the Padres tacked on a couple more and beat the Cubs 4-0. So the Cubs are now tied with the Brewers.
Turn out the lights, the party.
As the Brewers have won 6 in a row, their first one yesterday without Christian Yelich. Cubs will look to split with the Padres as they play the final game of the 4-game set in San Diego this afternoon. White Sox were blown out by the Royals 8-0. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Mets 9-0. So our three baseball teams scored 0 runs and were outscored 21-0 last night. Not a great night to watch baseball. Chief.
You think Dandy Dan is singing in his grave?
I don't even know who that is.
Dandy Dan? It was what he was, one of the original Monday night guys. Whenever one team would get so far in the hole, he would turn out the lights, the party's over. As the game was over, we would. Lou remembers that, I'm sure.
Do you want me to do my Howard Cosell imitation?
Who were the original three guys, Lou? I know Matty Weber won't know.
Well, it's Meredith. It was Meredith Cosell and Frank Gifford. Oh, wait a minute. No, it wasn't Gifford. Who was it? Gifford came later.
Gifford was second year. It was Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson. Thank you. Yeah, they took him off of college football. That's right.
It was a talk about a different time, Matty. The game was 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, they'd start the original jingle, which you can still find on YouTube. They'd like introduce the three guys in the crazy yellow sport coats. They'd go to commercial break. They'd come back. The ball was in the air. That was it. The kickoff was like 8:03, wasn't it, Lou? I mean, there was no
They didn't. Well, I mean, it's so overproduced right now. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, and. There was a cult that developed, and we'll wrap up Antonio Brown here in a second, but there was a cult that developed around Cosell. And, I mean, in the 70s, they would bars would put up a TV set. You know, they'd have TV sets in bars, you know, that this was a relatively new thing then, but a TV set in a bar, and people would pay like $5, and if your name got drawn out of the hat for your $5 chance, you got to throw a brick at the television whenever Cosell first appeared. So you'd have people shattering TV sets in bars by throwing bricks and baseballs and things like that at the television whenever Cosell came on, because he drove people nuts. If you weren't an East Coast viewer, Cosell was, you know, something else. So,
he was a brilliant man.
That was, I guess, probably one of the first big non-sports or personality-driven sports marketing campaigns.
He was
throw a brick at the TV at Howard.
Can you name the bar, Lou?
Well, I don't know the bar. There was one in Denver that allowed it, because that's where I became aware of it.
The first one
in Minneapolis, I know.
The first one was Riley's Daughter at 111th and Cicero.
They were on
Wide World of Sports one Saturday. They filmed them in there. They filmed the Monday night, the night before or week before, and they were on Wide World of Sports the next Saturday.
Well, it became a marketing craze then.
Yeah.
The other thing I remember about Monday Night Football was when the Vikings were in the Super Bowl for the second time, I think. One of the players dumped a, and again, this is unthinkable now, but Cosell was doing an interview with somebody by poolside, and one of the players dumped a trash can full of water out of like the fifth or sixth floor window on top of him while he was doing the interview, and it washed his toupee off. He had an airpiece on it. It washed it off. But imagine an assault like that on a broadcaster now. I mean, I could see water, you know, maybe Gatorade being dumped on him, but during the course of an interview and somebody like that, yeah, it was pretty weird.
Well, Howard was an interesting sort. He was an attorney. I think he was Navy, but I'm not positive, Lou, who did it, but he was at age 24, 25, he was in charge of something like, how many thousand people were under his command. He was in charge of the landing craft construction in New York Harbor, and they had like
10 spots where they were building parts of landing craft and stuff for D-Day and everything. And he was in charge of all these people. And then all of a sudden the war's over and he's just out. Doesn't have a job. Doesn't have anybody that works for him. And he went back to law school, and then he decided he ran around with his tape recorder and he loved sports, and he started taping everybody. Then he landed onto Muhammad Ali, which essentially made his career. Because they were good buddies, and they became the straight man and the other thing. But in terms of somebody who knew sports, I mean, the guy he's probably one of the most intelligent men that ever was in that business. But he, of course, had that New York. But the thing in Chicago, I mean, my best friends, my idiot best friends from Notre Dame, whenever we watch a game now, Lou, I get text message every 30 seconds, and the big thing is they don't think Herb Street, I guess he's one of the announcers, I don't even know these people's names, Herb Street doesn't like the Irish. So finally, after 100 things, I write, which is
ridiculous, yeah, by the way.
Well, it is. Of course, but if you're a partisan, the reason why people in Chicago hated Cosell is because Cosell would do the highlights of all the other games on Sunday. And, you know, that was before maybe you got one game. You got your home game. And you got Monday Night Football. That's why it was, I don't even know if there was a 3 o'clock game back then. I don't think there was, Lou.
They started doing the double. You started seeing double headers in the late '60s, early '70s, I think.
Okay,
but you're absolutely right. The only place you could see highlights was on NFL films if they were broadcasting that week. A summary on NFL films, and then when HBO came in and started to come in on cable in the '70s, they started doing that show with Nick Bonacotti,
right?
This week in the NFL, and that was the only place you could see highlights of all the games.
Well, other than Monday Night Football, and there was the halftime Monday Night Football was a highlight reel of the games that were on Sunday. So the people in Chicago and the Bears were absolute horse bleep at that time. So the thing was, since Howard Cosell narrated the highlights, that somehow they decided he's the one who picked, and the Bears were always dissed on the highlights because there weren't any highlights from the Bears. And so everybody in Chicago, quote, hated Howard Cosell because Monday Night Football dissed the Bears, sort of like my Notre Dame guys in Herb Street. And I'm like, and of course, no matter how many times they told you that Howard Cosell had nothing to do with putting the thing together, that the lunkheads that were the Bear fans never would believe that, Manny, no matter what. They were convinced it was Cosell dissing the Bears.
To use the popular vernacular now, Mr. Cosell was a polarizing figure.
Yes.
Let me finish up with
Brown. I think this is going to be an interesting test for the NFL because, of course, the standards for the NFL policy is that if there's no criminal charge filed, then they don't, you know, they're not going to take action unless the team has done an internal or the league has done an investigation or the team's done an investigation. But, of course, today, as I read in the paper, or yesterday, as I read in the paper, it looks like they're actually going to launch a criminal investigation based on the lawsuit. So, you know, I don't understand that. I mean, my reaction to that would be, come on, there's no evidence. I mean, maybe we interview her, but there's no forensic evidence that we could use to prove this. And you know, it's going to be her word against his, and it's going to be obvious they were having a consensual relationship because they were business partners. There's no dispute about that, as I understand it. So I think the league is going to be in an interesting position. They may well just say, you know what, we're going to suspend you pending the resolution of this because you're a lunatic, you know, Tony, and because you're a problem for us. From day one, you created all kinds of problems at Oakland. You gave the club a bad name. You're giving football a bad name by your goofiness, and we're gonna suspend you just pending this investigation and clear it out. That at least would be consistent with some of the tack that they've taken on other complaints like this. On the other hand, you know, it's not like Ray Rice or Peterson or some of these others where we had actual photographic evidence or physical evidence of the. Of the abuse that was alleged, or the crime that was alleged. So maybe they sit back, maybe they quietly pick the phone up and call the Patriots and say, you really don't want us coming in on this because we hate you already. And, you know, this is something you don't want us involved in.
Lou, what was
action to deal with it?
Real stupid question. The guy's a wide receiver in some small college. What business were they in together?
They met at a Bible study, and he trained with her. And I think the business that they were looking at doing was her training business.
Ah, okay.
And I think that's what. And of course, his position is that this is a stick up job. She's just retaliating against him because he wouldn't invest in her business, which. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And
all right,
know,
so as a junior in college in some nondescript school, the guy's got enough money, he's getting paid that much back then to invest in a business?
Well, let me put it this way. As a junior in college, he had already been tagged as somebody that the league was likely going to be interested in and somebody who had potential as a pro player. And so, you know, this kind of stuff goes on all the time. She got an agreement signed with him or something like that, maybe, that says, you'll agree to fund my business if you make it in the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was in play.
Lou, I don't want to get into this too deeply, but it's obvious.
Anyway, it creates a real problem for the league because, you know, we're still in, I think, although it's starting to fade a little bit, we're still in this culture of believe all women all the time, and so if you take that position, then the league is in a bad spot. If the league comes back and says, no, listen, we have to have at least some evidence that there was some improper conduct, her allegations notwithstanding, so we're going to wait and see what happens there, which I think is the proper move. But you know, we'll just have to see what develops. My personal opinion, if I was the coach, I'd be saying, I don't want this right now. Suspend the guy. Let this play out somewhere else. He's already burned up all of his credibility with the way he acted at Oakland. We don't have to burn our credibility with him.
Well, I don't want to go deep in this one, but maybe one of these days we'll tee it up. By the way, Kevin wants to be on one of these days when you're on. He misses you. We could tee this up together, but I'm just kind of curious with the fact that this guy was like in this business thing. I always have had anecdotal evidence, you know, of maybe guys getting jobs back in the day in the summertime, and they, you know, they got paid pretty good when they really didn't do very much, that kind of thing. And now everybody's at campus all summer, so you can't really do that anymore. You can pay these guys a little bit, I know, but the amount of, you know, Eric May is a contributor to the show, you know, quite a bit. Hopefully he'll be on next week because this week was his first week of class and he's pretty busy. His brother played pro ball. And he goes, it's very simple. The best coaches find a way to pay people and nobody finds out about it in college. I mean, my buddy Beldo.
I don't disagree with that.
My buddy Beldo is convinced. Right. The one African-American mother told the coach, don't come back here ever again unless you're willing to pay as much as Saban. Like, okay. But I mean, how I know people that have tutored guys, and all of a sudden the two uncles end up with new pickup trucks. I mean, how?
Let's look at this. Look at this creatively. This guy Brown and this woman are involved. Okay, they're romantically involved. She's got this business that she's opening up as a trainer. He works out with her. One of his benefactors comes and says, you know, Antonio, we need to get you some money so that you stay with the team, but I can't just hand you a bag full of cash because this isn't Chicago. So I'm going to do something else. What we'll do is we'll throw money at your girlfriend and we'll give her $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000. And then the two of you can go buy a car together. You can do a bunch of other stuff together, but the money goes to her. And maybe that's the way they set it up. I mean, that wouldn't be an unheard of kind of deal, you know. Instead of going directly to a family, it's going to a business. And when somebody comes in and says, "Well, you know, you gave money to the player," no, I didn't. I gave it to this business. You know, and I mean, if she wants to go out and buy a car and do a bunch of other stuff, and you know, maintain it in her name, and the player gets to use it, well, that's the way it works. They're business partners.
What does it say, so, Lou, about a society, and me included, that still, for some reason, believes their politicians, even though 90% of the time, to me, they lie, maybe 80%. And do people really think that this college game that they love is not crooked, or they don't care, is there any doubt in anybody's mind that if somebody is worth $500,000 to a team and the rules say you can only pay them $50, that somehow, some way, there's going to be some sort of accommodation. The economic laws are that powerful. Do people honestly think that these people are Chip Hilton, for God's sake?
I don't know. I know the NC2A takes, radically inconsistent positions on these things. They turn a blind eye to what goes on in certain programs. They come down hard on others. I don't think anybody right now believes that amateurism, in the sense of non-cash payments, amateurism exists in Division I college athletics. If you want amateurs, go to Division II or Division III programs where you're seeing people play for nothing. But at the Division I level, especially the big-time Division I level, in your revenue sports, football, basketball especially, maybe baseball, those people are going to be compensated. There's going to be money flowing to them. And I saw it as an agent over and over again. It's an ongoing issue. And the NC2A really, it's almost impossible for the NC2A to police, because the players want it, the coaches want it, and the alumni, the donors want it, and the agents want it. And the pro teams, the pro teams don't care. Now, the kid, once the kid's out, once he's out of college, once he's got his training, or he's done his year or two of eligibility playing, the pros don't care. They don't care if he lied to get in. They don't care if he lied on his test. They don't care if he took money. They don't care if he had new cars. They don't care once he gets into the league. And I think, I don't want to use too much of a comment on character, because I don't want to tie the sports to character too much, but I do think that the character of that process directly affects the character of these kids.
Oh, sure.
I think when
they
get into the pros, that character, it takes a while for that character to work its way out of them. But and until then, you have problems like this.
Well, I haven't seen him in ages.
By the way, there's a line of discussion, and Maddie may have seen this too. There's a line of discussion on Twitter that Brown may well be suffering from some kind of early onset CTE, and I've noted a bunch of people commenting that he seemed to be a reasonably solid citizen until he got a terrible hit, shoulder to helmet hit. I don't know who it was against, but it was last year, or maybe the year before, and then he's been acting erratically ever since.
That wouldn't surprise me, though. Would not surprise me. One of my buddies from I knew him in high school, but when you like somebody when you're young, you still like him when you're, and he ended up coaching for Marist. He was a real tall kid, skinny as hell. All of a sudden he went to Augustana or one of these places. He ends up as a Division I Division II All-American center. He filled out a little bit. Terrific guy. Good ball player. And he became a coach at Marist. And he goes, Tommy, I can't do this recruiting stuff. I go, what do you mean? He says, I'm sitting at somebody's house. The kid's an eighth grader. And I'm giving him this line of crap about how the school needs him. We're going to offer him a scholarship to Marist and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, the parents should be shutting me up. they should be saying, don't be buttering up the kid. He's just a regular kid. But no, the parents are the ones that are lapping it up. He goes, I'm sitting there, the world does not need this 14-year-old on the football field, or the world's going to fall apart. Who cares? It's a game. It's a sport. He goes, I love football. You know that. I love sports my whole life. But it's a sport. He's in high school. He's not a pro. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that this guy's going to be a pro. Maybe there's one in a zillion chance. And the parents are already lapping this up like it's them.
Because
it starts early.
I know. It's astounding the hold that this stuff has on people. And when I was an agent and doing the agent work, I would go out to talk to kids at service academies sometimes, because I had sort of been through that process and I had some insight into what they had to do to get out of it, or to play if they got that good. And you know, even in places like that, you know, this idea of, we could play. And I remember talking to one of the players, and he said, you know, no kidding, what do you think? And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. If there is one guy on this entire squad of 100 players, if there is one guy that even gets a serious look, and by serious look, I mean somebody that they would invite to a mini camp, that the NFL, an NFL team is going to invite to a mini camp, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, yeah.
And because you guys just have no concept of the talent level that's out there and the incredible winnowing process that takes place. But you know, every one of those kids, every one of them, I got a shot. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You know, you don't. And one of the great failures of our national athletic program is that we don't divert kids early enough out of a track for basketball or football that would send them into some of our Olympic sports where they could, you know, be a truly great athlete. They could have this true national success. They could capitalize on that with you know, scholarships somewhere. Instead, we're focused on these big revenue sports, and I think to the detriment of a lot of other activities.
Well, we're starting to see when we see these kids playing these travel sports, where people are playing baseball from February to November. Lou, that's not healthy. I mean, everybody in the major leagues will tell you it's not healthy. You should be playing basketball. You should be playing like Mike Messina is now a basketball coach. He goes, I like basketball as much as I did baseball. Now I'm a basketball coach, even though he was an all-star pitcher forever. He goes, you don't want kids pitching for 9 months at age 12.
No. No, I think there's sort of an understanding of that starting to develop. I mean, what we end up with is a not very well organized kind of system like they have in Europe, where you've got 12, 13, and 14 year olds signing long term contracts.
Yeah, it's
For soccer or for you know, other sports, team handball or volleyball, and basically becoming specialists at that point. We have the same effective thing. Except there's no competition.
All right, Lou, we got
a
dash, buddy. Enjoy yourself.
So
we'll talk at you next week. S&P futures up $8 now, and NASDAQ futures up 44. Every time we say we're going to do something good for China, we run up. I think we're going to make new heights here, maybe in a couple days. We will see. Be right back, Mr. Fari Hamzy.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Futures up 8.25, NASDAQ futures up 46. I think I get the feeling since we were down the other day and we went flying up after that, that I have a feeling we're not going
to
be stopped.
You talking to me?
I'm saying I think we, with the Fed pouring money in and everything, I think we're going a little higher, Farr. You know, I'm not all that.
You talking to me?
Yeah, you. Who else?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm saying the.
I didn't hear my name, so I thought you were talking to somebody else.
No.
Who are you talking to, man?
You heard to me. I was just going to say hello, Farr, and then you pipe up already. So, okay.
Well, you know, this is just the way things are in the Trumpkin land. What is left of it?
And what is left of it?
For the first time, we're seeing a crack now. That's saying, oh. No, I don't agree with everything he says now. Really? So you sleep last 2-3 years? What do you have you smoke down there?
I had to tell my two Federal Reserve buddies I can't hang around with them anymore because they're boneheads.
Well, it's just getting too toxic in a way. So.
They're boneheads. Like, how can I talk to them?
Yeah. I wrote on Facebook saying we had mid-level managers at Northrop, and if somebody would complain about somebody in their staff, one level higher up would remind you. Idiots hire idiots. So don't complain about this guy's not doing his thing. You hire them. That goes up. By the way, this goes up the chain, right? So he hired Bolton. He can't complain. Idiots hire idiots. And then somebody hired him, which is the Trumpkins.
Yeah, well, it's...
Idiots hire idiots. Very simple. Whole thing at Northrop. So go and fix it. Don't tell me what's wrong. Fix it.
The amount of...
Now he's getting his, I guess there's some deal with trade, or they're bifurcating the trade talks, and we'll have another 50 handles on NQs.
Yeah.
Mamma mia. Jesus.
Well, look what's happening in the Russell on top of it. We're,
Russell has been on fire several days now.
Yeah.
We've been saying in our, either on the chat or in the, PMT review saying, something is up with Russell's like this. Look at it. All of a sudden, now we were near zero since I'd say probably. Let's see, we have been oscillating. I'm sorry, the D-trender. I'm sorry, the D-trender has been oscillating since about February, near zero. A little bit up, a little bit down. The zero line, the D-trender, is the difference between the price and the moving average of that price. Okay, and especially on the 200 day, it's just pretty much sitting around there. Actually, more around. Probably April. From April on, it's basically sitting near the zero line, and then we were below in the last leg down. We came and found support at 1450 under Russell Cash. That was end of August. Look at what he's done since end of August. It just exploded.
Yep.
And that means risk on shortly. If we take 1610 or so out, risk is back on. Now they're going to all come in.
Well,
yeah, 1620. If you get 1620, they're all going to start coming in. We're trading at 1575 as of yesterday close.
Very, if, first of all, I'm not giving investment advice because I didn't do it. Oh, but I'll tell you what, in retrospect, and somebody like me with my background and why I didn't do this, I have no idea. So, I mean, it's like if there was a confession in my future. All you had to do the last 10, 15 years, really, 20 years, is look at this money supply that nobody else looks at. When it starts to go flying up, when these guys are pouring money in for some reason, like they can say all they want how they're not listening to the Grumpino, but the fact is they are. M2 growth in the last 3 months now, 4 months, has been over 9%, which is incredible.
That's incredible.
All you need to do is look at those numbers, and if they drop down to like 3.5, 4 like it did for a while, the market's going to go down. You got to give it a lag time. It's like a 60-day lag time, 60 or right. 75 days. I spotted this like about a month ago, and I should have on Monday was the day, or Tuesday, when we were way down and the transportation average looked like it was up, even though the spoons were down 20 bucks.
Look at gold this morning.
I should have just grabbed something.
Yeah, and, look at gold this morning.
We're talking about pouring money into the system, and all the people in the talking heads keep talking about what's the Fed going to do. They're already doing it, Farry. Yeah. They're pouring money into the system. And in the last, since 2000, our GDP is up roughly double, a little more than double, from 9.7 trillion to 21. Our money supply is up three times. And our debt is up God knows what. So to say that from the federal government has not been doing their best to hold up asset prices and things, they absolutely are. The politics has gotten so different
I think it'll keep people quiet.
But the weird part is, if somebody were to say to me, well, how come it hasn't collapsed? I hope it doesn't collapse. I'm not looking for that.
That's my point. That's the fix. It's like your Monday night football. Well, if you want to watch Monday night football, you need beer.
Yeah.
What would you do if there was no beer?
That would be a bad world.
It would be, there would be civil war on the streets. That's a fix. You need that fix. This is the thing. If you're making money, you look the other way. You calm.
You know what, Farida? Wasn't that a song? What if there was no beer?
I have no idea.
Was there an Irish drinking song?
Not that I drank any beer. It was in the college days with William Clay Ford Jr. And that was Heineken. So we never touched Bud. Sorry.
The Green Death?
Yeah.
We were never big Bud people either. We were old style, and actually I liked Schlitz back when it was regular Schlitz.
Oh, is that right? Wow. My dad liked that. Yeah. Years ago he liked that.
You know, there was a beer that was still as good as any I've ever had. Schlitz used to make a dark beer that you could only get. They never bottled it. You could only get in the 15.5 gallon kegs.
In kegs? Wow. Yeah.
And we every Friday in our dorm room, get a load of this. Every Friday in my junior year, we had a happy hour. Mm-hmm. And we went and got three kegs of beer, and we opened at 4 o'clock, and the three kegs in a dorm room never lasted past 5:45.
Yeah, well, no, I agree.
Our hour and 45 minutes, we went through.
We took the keg quietly from our storage area, the refrigerator, of course, slowly roll it down the hill, because where our clubhouse was. Below was the baseball diamond, and everybody played, and it had no fence. So you come in the top of the bleachers, it was dug in, all right? Put the keg down, had some cups, and watched. And my buddies were in the baseball team. I mean, my club buddies were in the baseball team. Watch them play, relax. That was most of our spring afternoons. Talk about studying very hard at Princeton. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Farry, if you want to get even more disgusted, they just redid my page here, the U.S. National Debt. They now have more and more stuff on there to where it's almost hard to find something. They got a new one here, debt-to-wealth ratio. Debt to wealth.
Debt to wealth?
Yeah, guess what?
Define that, please.
I will define it here because I haven't seen it before, but I have to kick it up here. It is, let me see, but it's $953 to one.
Like, how bad is that? Oh, it is.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
Amount of debt-based interest-bearing money provided by the Federal Reserve divided by the amount of wealth-based non-interest-bearing U.S. Treasury coins issued in the current year. So it's it's metal money versus debt. Where'd you even get that one? That's a wild one. But the good news is we're up to $12,000 saving per family. But guess what the total debt is per family? All debt. This is household, business, state, local governments, financial institutions, and the federal government divided by the number of U.S. families. Total debt per family.
I don't know, $100,000?
$877,000.
Oh, okay.
That's a number.
Yeah, that's a number, of course. No, listen, in the era where they don't have $400 extra cash for emergency.
Right.
$77,000 is a lot of money.
Okay. Most people...
I mean, this cigar club, I don't remember, there's one of the waitresses there. She says that, and she's a dingbat. She says that, well, the billionaires can afford it. They should pay the debt. I said, how much is the debt? She had no clue.
No idea.
I said, how many billionaires do we have? She had no clue.
I
said I would do some studying before talking to me again.
Lou and I were talking earlier, and I think it started in sports radio where everybody thinks they have an opinion on every subject that they know nothing about.
Exactly. We're going to study it. Take a look at it. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. Really? Not everything is a mess. You can look at the source, look what it is, look at how you can collaborate. You know, do some research. Nobody wants to do that.
Oh, God.
Just a shot in the arm quickly.
You go to Google for 2 seconds, you read four lines, and you're an expert.
Yeah, exactly. And you believe the first line you read. That's not true. That could be more. That could be an advertisement. That could be a sponsored post.
Right. Oh yeah.
You got to dig in.
Yeah, but it's too much work. I mean,
of course. Hello. Sure. But it's not too much work to sit there at dinner time and answer your tweets or Facebook pages. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Farrah, what happened this week? And I've been dabbling around in these stocks for a while for my people.
Right.
All these stocks that are absolutely flat on their ass. I mean, I'm talking about the steel companies. Your Chesapeake, your
energy, you mean?
Your Freeport McMoRan, because copper was way down.
Right.
All
right
of a sudden, all these stocks within the last 5 days have all started to move. We're getting, and now, as you know, I beginning of the year, I put like half people's money I put a lot of stuff in the Russell. I put a lot of stuff in the QQQ, and for 6 months. The Russell
long
did,
and Q, guys. Long and Q.
Well, the Russell didn't do anything, relatively. And the QQQ, I couldn't keep up with, or was having trouble, it was running up around. Now, all of a sudden, it's flipped the other way, where the Russell's flying up, and the Q can't seem to get out of its own way, or it's not going up near as fast.
Well, here's what I do. I only trade bursts, so I don't sit there very long, okay? But I watch three items. Microsoft, Amazon and Apple in the same time slice as NQ. So if I'm running 3 minutes, I'm running 5 minutes, I'm running whatever. It's the same number of minutes. So it's all tidy and I cannot look at it differently, okay? And you can program that into a trade station. Because by mistake, in the heat of a battle, you could get into a mistake. Now, I wait for the three start moving. Build a base, start moving, then I jump in. And that move could be 2 or 3 minutes. But it's explosive. You make enough money and your risk is small because of time on the market. The key issue is, how much are you exposed time-wise? Then you're done. You come out, you go to the beach. So, I mean, I was down yesterday between, because I was done several times, I declare I was done, between 8 minutes into trading up to about an hour of trading. And there were three bursts, absolutely incredible, and I'm done. You walk away. Here's the problem. You wait at lunchtime, they dissect you. And you can give it back, and you say, what the hell happened there? And so it's no good.
Well, I mean, this Apple stock, they go into this routine where this has been a long wave, sine wave in there. Yesterday, I don't think that their presentation was all that good. I didn't read anybody who did, but the fact is, the stock
goes
racing
evening.
Up.
Look at last evening close.
Yeah,
look what happened last night after 7 p.m. New York time on Apple. Exploded. I don't know why.
Well, I'm saying it's in one of these things where...
Was it maybe announcement from Washington?
Well, during the year, it's up from
China, probably.
Yeah, it was a China thing.
Well, look at Amazon and Apple; they moved. So did Microsoft. Look at it. These three, because they're such a big part of the index. If these three move, NQ is going to move. So the direction this goes, you have to watch. because you can't fight these three big market caps.
No, I mean, Apple's up from 160 some bucks to 224 this year.
Yeah,
I mean, it probably shouldn't have been 163, but now all of a sudden you got to have. I mean, this trending jump on the bandwagon. Oh no, jump off the bandwagon.
It's formal.
Yeah,
yeah, fear of missing out.
Well, it definitely is. But so we stopped. We delayed the tariffs for like a little while, allegedly in honor of the Chinese 70th year of being a communist country. I don't know.
Just added to the NQ.
I'm not so sure that that's what we want to do, but. But no, I think these stocks are coming off their now. Whether that means that, last week we were talking about, we finally got a little bit of a bump in copper, and I was surprised that the stocks didn't move.
Copper was the issue, yeah, exactly.
But they
that's a commercial asset.
You know, are we going to start flinging back toward the other stocks? Are you going to want to own these steel companies way down here? Are you going to want to own some of these other places that have been just getting destroyed? I mean, you're going to want to own some of these oil companies? Is Schlumberger ever going to be a buy?
Oil is down right now.
Yeah. Well,
look at what's happening to steel, some of the steel mills. Look at manufacturing base.
Yeah.
9 months now they're ticking down. No. Grumpy has a lot of problems. I think those guys are not going to be fooled again this fast.
Well, I mean,
technology is a little bit different.
Depends on who comes out of the other gate.
We're winning it overseas.
I can't. There's so many people on the Democratic side I could never vote for. I mean, I can't.
I'm talking. How do you get the Democrats? Oh, I'm missing something.
Oh, you said he's gonna a lot of trouble. I thought you meant election-wise.
No. I'm talking about he has to work on the... Well, no. That's a side effect. But you still got to put some of these people back to work. There have been layoffs. In his race, manufacturing race.
Well, yeah, so, what do you think happens with Draghi today? They're looking for some huge stimulus program. Other than giving money to people to put it in the market, have any stimulus programs helped anybody... Below the top 1%?
In Europe?
Yeah.
I have no clue. I'm very provincial. I know S&P 500, that's it. What do I know about Europe?
Well...
I just like the blondes over there, that's all.
Well, let me ask you this. What happens when you start buying...
And around 35 or less.
When you start buying all the debt,
yes.
When are we going to stop doing the two-step and just say, let the government print the money and spend it?
Sold one tranche. Go ahead, sorry.
Why can't... Why don't you just let the government print the money and spend it? Why?
Because the gold will fly through the roof.
Well, but I'm saying...
And then you have to get... We have to give you free wheelbarrows. Remember the Weimar Republic?
But why go through the routine of borrowing it and then having another arm of government going and buying it back? I mean, it's the same thing.
I have no idea. Because they don't have you running the place.
Well, they wouldn't want that, probably. I don't know if anybody want that. So it looks to me like old highs, we're going to get there, Frank. I don't think, unless something weird happens the next couple of weeks, we're in.
Oh, absolutely. Here's a time chart. 1 second, please. We have 3,001 as of close last night. High is 328. The 3 sigma is 3060, 3059 to be exact, okay? We don't pull back until... At least we get very close to that. Of course, we're going to overshoot 328. Markets are always overshoot, either to the upside or the downside. So let's say between 330 to, let's say, 3055. And then decision point comes up. There is no decision point right now. You're an autopilot now. You'd be stupid if you're short here.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean,
The force is too big. And we talked about that. We talked about that, by the way, on this day. 28th. Was that, was it 29? When was our last, one before last interview? On 29th we talked about it. Because, by then the event has happened. The night before I talked about it, which was 28th to my group. Because the way it tested the bottoms three times, that's a retest failure. When you go to that retest failure, you go, now, next thing you would say, well, there was already a gap up. Okay, fine. But 2 days later, we retested it. Again, even the gap up. And now look where we are. The gap up says it's auction, right? It's auction theory. If there's no acceptable value up there, I mean down there, so we're going to go the other side. You know, this is price discovery. You've got to understand how the market moves. When we are down, we need a lot of weak shorts to go up. When we're up, we need weak longs to go down. That's all price discovery.
I'm just kind of curious, Fry, the mirror image of the 1981 fiasco,
Oh, with that broker?
Well, with, you know, yeah, with the idea that, you know, the stocks never went anywhere and the interest rates were so high, you just put them all in the bank. The mirror image, someday, somewhere, there's going to be somebody that comes out with a, somebody who's, you know, very, you know, kind of a famous somebody or other that people believe. And he's going to catch the timing just right, he or she, and they're going to come out and say, we're fooling ourselves. The amount of inflation that's actually embedded in the economy is dramatic. And by the way, people aren't, I'm looking at this thing. You know what the median income in the U.S. is right now? Per person?
I don't know. I have no idea.
33,000. You know what it was in 2000?
Oh my God.
31,000.
How do you pay? How do you even feed your people at that price?
That's a median individual income. It's not the average. The average is higher, obviously. I mean, the mean would be higher.
Right.
What's the median family income is what? 58, 59? Maybe it's 69.
I don't know.
But how do you...
you gave me a shock here. Hold on, man.
Yeah.
This is to eat. How do they even eat?
Well, yeah.
Forget the roof.
Well, fighters, there's all kinds of...
Family of four cost you more than that to eat.
There's areas in this country... You can have mortgages for $300. I mean, we're not anywhere where we live, but I'm not talking about a nice. I mean, I'm saying you don't have the. There's areas where you don't have to pay $5,000 and $10,000 and $15,000 and $20,000 property taxes like you do in Chicago. I mean, I've seen income statements from people who live in rural Alabama and Mississippi and places where the mortgage is $300. You know, $1,200 in Social Security.
Yeah, but there's no upward mobility.
No, but I'm saying they're getting their $1,200.
For generations, they're stuck in that environment.
Well,
they missed the whole war.
Sorry, I've done some expert witness stuff for people.
They probably don't even have a cell phone.
Well, where people are suing people and so forth, and I get to look. I look at their bank statements and everything. And it's there are people that Social Security check comes and it's $1,500, $1,400. The mortgage is $300. The taxes are $100 a month. They spend money at Walmart and they spend money at the Piggly Wiggly, and that's it. Your water bill is $20 every 3 months.
So
or whatever.
What did Grand Peter do for them?
They're anything for them. Nobody cares about them. Nobody even knows they exist. You're not supposed to care about those people. They're not giving you any money. You think any of these people in Washington, when you talk about whether or not they're pouring too much money in the system or going to negative interest rates, all everybody cares about is keeping asset prices up, which we all want to see have happen. But I think most people would like to see it happen naturally and not artificially, because whenever something happens artificially, it seems like someday there's a payback day. But there hasn't been. And right now, I'm not so sure that I would recommend, hey, let's go back to quote, normal money supply growth and let the market drop 30% and see what everything happens, because I know you can't take that off on your taxes. So many people are margined out to behind. They're not here. I mean, we don't have people like that at PTI, but there are people that have that they're margined every possible bit they can get in their accounts. So if the market drops 20%, you've got people in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants that to happen, but you also know that every single day you can't be going up without someday, somewhere, there's going to be a comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd like to see the market kind of hang in there for a while and the economy grow into it, but the economy's not growing very much.
No.
Despite what they're saying.
That's all a bunch of baloney. The problem is that a lot of people are measuring the economy, at least you can tell from the state, from what's happening with the stocks. Stocks is not your economy.
Well, if you look at the world we always want to be in, you know, if we bought the baseball team or the football team 15 years ago for $800 million and now it's worth $4 billion.
Yeah.
On that level, everything is fine. We're pouring money into the system. But what do you think the chance? We're talking yesterday about your buddy Jerry Jones saying the Cowboys are worth $5 billion. Well, in a normal world, Fari, if you and I went out and borrowed $5 billion and suppose we were at the world's best credit rating and we got a rate of 6%, which would be real cheap for something like that normally. If we got tell me that thing is going to return.
Never pay back.
It's at $300 million a year in interest rates.
Just interest, yeah. But if you have a family Deutsche Bank banker and maybe a couple of oligarchs co-sign for you, yeah, that's probably doable.
Okay, but even if it's four, I mean, I'm saying the thing there's an ego stroke here.
Stop it.
Yeah, there's an ego stroke here. But the point is, you don't even know how to value stuff when you look at negative interest rates. I mean, every asset is worth.
Wait a second. I think Grumpino was telling Jay Powell that we need to be low, zero, or lower.
Right. Because
for next week.
He thinks that he can refinance the federal debt $21 trillion negatively.
Oh, Jesus.
But in his mind, you know, people will actually pay me rather than me paying. What do they pay per year in interest? $300 million? $400? Their average price still has to be into the twos, isn't it? Two and a half, three? Two, it's got to be. Even though we went down lately. So say three. So that's, what is it?
I mean, I don't know what the distribution they have on the books in terms of various debts, but I'm trying to switch quickly to my interest rate page. We've had, there we go, okay. The low we put in was like September 2nd, okay, seems like, except the front end, but the 5, the 10, and 30. And now it's rising, actually.
Right. Oh, yeah, we were up quite a bit in the last 5 days.
Yeah. It's come up quite a bit, actually, 2, 4, 8 days now. In the last 8 days, it's rallied. The actual YTM, actual yield to maturity.
Well, 10 years has gone from 1.48 to 1.72 or something in 8 days. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a... Oh, Murray, hold on. Oh, we rallied. Hold on. Sold 2/3. Sorry, guys. I got to make some shots.
What are you on the trading floor? You're trading by voice?
Well, we have... But no. I've got chat rooms. They're on Skype, so they can hear me in real time.
I see. I thought you were
technology,
back on
a, my friend. Technology.
I thought you were back on a trading floor somewhere. Actually,
no, I'm sitting at my desk, which is 12x9, handles two traders, 21 monitors, and I'm trading. I'm talking to you, looking at some charts to talk to you while I'm trading in queue, and then my chat room is open. They got my microphone in front of me, so they can hear me what I'm saying.
Man, that's why
they get action too. They got to make money too.
So
Harry, it's all about money.
Oh, well, that's the truth. All right, Ferry, have a good one, buddy. We'll talk at you next week.
Yes,
SP futures up 6. NASDAQ futures up 41. We'll be back right, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Right now. Hello, welcome back. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Leak on the board. S&P futures are up 675. Nasdaq is up 44, continuing the rally of yesterday. Dow Jones is up. The futures are up like... They're up 55 points. The individual stocks, we've got Apple up another dollar. Apple was up a bunch yesterday. Boeing has been up like $20 in the last couple of days. It continues to race up. Obviously, there must be some sneaky news about the 737 that nobody seems to be having. But obviously, they've been flying up today. We've also got McDonald's up a buck. They got whacked the other day pretty good, but they're making somewhat of a comeback. United Health up $1.50, and we got Verizon up $1.50 as well. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 47.4%. FTSE up 4, call that flat. CAC Iran, which was flat a while ago, now it's up 27, it's 0.5%. So there's been a rally in Europe because the ECB has just launched a new stimulus plan. We'll talk more about that with David in a second. Stimulus, got to have more stimulus. Nikkei up 161.8%, Shanghai up 22.8%, Hang Seng down 71.3%. We've got bonds, we're talking U.S. 1.68, we're up to, actually down some today, we're up over 1.7. Bund minus 0.63, the new stimulus plan, this is actually going back the other way, so we'll be talking about that in a sec. Oil is down 76 cents, Brent down 98, natural gas 2.52. We've got gold up now at almost $20 because of the stimulus plan. As you keep making money worth less and less, gold's going to keep going higher and higher. It's up 1980, 1523. So what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports, gang?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a new crash on Lakeshore Drive. That earlier crash on the northbound side at the Oak Street curve is all clear, but now there's one on the southbound side. On the north side of the city at Belmont. Traffic is building in both directions on Lakeshore Drive because of a couple of crashes this morning. This one that's on the southbound side at Belmont has Hollywood to Monroe up to 35 minutes now heading inbound on Lakeshore Drive due to that stop-and-go traffic. So keep that in mind if you take Lakeshore Drive into downtown. Normal traffic volumes on the Edens and Kennedy, same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways have been behaving themselves all morning, so that's good news. We do have a crash out in the northwest suburbs out near Elgin. Route 25, just off of the I-90 Jane Addams Tollway, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, some showers on and off, including a potential thunderstorm. Then we'll see some sunshine this afternoon. Cool off a bit, too, not quite as humid. A high of 76. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 101 today. Right now it's clear and 80. In sports, Cubs were shut out in San Diego 4-0. They'll look for a series split this afternoon as they've dropped two of the first three in the four-game set. They're now tied for the second wildcard spot with Milwaukee in the National League playoff race. White Sox were blown out by the Royals at home last night 8-0. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Mets 9-0.
The
I'm looking at this. David, how are you?
I'm fine, but all the three teams that you announced, Arizona, Chicago Sox, Chicago Cubs, all with big goose eggs.
Yeah.
Not a good hitting night.
No.
All zeros. I don't recall that on the same day.
No, I don't either. I'm reading this report of what the central bank did here in Europe. David, I absolutely am stunned what these guys are up to. The preference for lending and the quantitative easing probe of 20 billion euros per month for as long as it deems yesterday. $20 billion a month. You're buying bonds. At some point, when do you like own all the bonds? Then what happens?
Well, you knew if Draghi's going out and Lagarde's coming in, you knew he'd go out with a flourish, didn't you?
Is she going to turn some of this around? I don't think she believes in all this stuff as much as he does.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know her. I know she commanded serious respect at the IMF. Maybe this is purely a hunch. No evidence of this, but just she has a very, very strong background as a lawyer. Perhaps, maybe there'll be a little bit more balance than just what the market would like to believe that they want.
If you can understand half this stuff, run this by me. The central bank's quantitative easing program will entail €20 billion, $21.9 billion per month of net asset purchases for as long as it deems necessary. The central bank also cut its main deposit rate by 10 basis points to a minus 0.5%, a record low, another new low. The ECB now expects interest rates to remain at their present or lower levels until it has seen inflation outlook, what does this mean, robustly converge to a level sufficiently close to but below 2% within its projection horizon, and such convergence has been persistent. What the hell does that mean?
I mean, it obviously has something to do with, you know, a target, and obviously they're not achieving that target, and the lowering of rates they hope will get towards that target. I mean, it's gobbledygook that, you know, really is similar but with different words to, you know, Fed's, you know, 2% GDP growth and, you know, 2% inflation growth. And, you know, I mean, to me, it all, I mean, not to admit my age, but I can remember, you know, mid-70s, you know, in the MBA books from Harvard Business that Indiana used with the exact same targets. So 40-some years later, it's the same stuff.
Here's one I'll get you. I bet you or Maddie have no idea what this means because I don't. Additionally, the ECB changed its TLTRO. What's that? Targeted loan.
I know TLT is the ETF on 20-year bonds and notes, but other than that, I don't know what that is.
Targeted long-term refinancing operations rate to provide more favorable bank lending conditions and match that of its refinancing rate, erasing a previous 10 basis point spread. And they're going with some sort of a two-year, get a load of this. This is a new system will see borrowers receive preferential rates if their lending exceeds a benchmark. So if you're big enough, you get better rates. We've seen that here. Would we really want to institutionalize that? In line with market expectations, the ECB also introduced a two-tier rate system. What, one for the haves, one for the have-nots? Is that what that works?
I guess.
A measure encouraged
by the way, as a slight segue, but on the same vein, did you hear some of Mnuchin's comments on the ultra-long bond that they're considering?
Well, get a load of this. In line with market expectations, the ECB also introduced a two-tier rate system, a measure encouraged by the heads of various major banks.
I bet somebody in Brussels is pulling the strings on that one.
I can only imagine reading an article someday, and the
federal government has decided PTI Securities doesn't have to pay any income taxes after being encouraged to do so by the chief. I mean, how can people even write stuff like or allow it to be written like that without feeling weird? Have we changed that much? After
it
consultation,
is what it is. You know what? Again, in deference to you, and I'm not just saying this. You know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, even, you know, all your conspiracy theories and M2, M3, and money supply, and you were the last chief watching it. You know, as opposed to the old years when everyone was gathered, you know, by the tape to see what money supply was. I thought, oh my God, you know, this is all outdated. But you said then, and it's obviously true, that they pump, and, you know, push people into, you know, quote-unquote risky assets, even those that are not, you know, so risky. But that's where they want it, because that's the wealth effect that they want to stimulate the economies. And it's now in spades.
Well, with them pouring the money in, they're pouring now. How high is the market going to go before somebody writes an article and says the inflation rate is now like 8%, what are you idiots doing?
Yeah, the real, quote unquote, the real inflation rate.
Well,
but Mnuchin's comment, I have to hear it. It was spectacular. The question was, well, we heard that, you know, the Treasury is considering 50-year bonds, which Mnuchin says, yes, a lot of discussion, and we will call them ultra-long bonds, but we have to look at the spread, you know, the market demand and what the spread would be to the 30, and if there's really demand and how much, you know, supply we'd have to issue and whatever. But we're strongly considering it, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact words, even though I heard them, you know, about 15 minutes ago. But it was something on the order of, we would consider a sizable, you know, 50-year bond issuance in order to de-risk the debt of the future of the United States. And I'm like, how the hell does that work?
Well, you de-risk it for them, not for the people that own it.
I'm like, well, it won't matter to me in 50 years, but I have one new grandchild that it surely may matter to.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, that's the whole, if you get this mentality, and I know I'm you know, I guess, which I believe our president has. If you look in a mirror with the whole Chicago behind you in the background of the whole country and all you see is yourself, you get a different view of how you make policy than maybe somebody more normal might.
I stood there and I'm like, are you kidding me? This was, you know, the head of Goldman Sachs and, you know, touting for, you know, strong dollar and higher, he didn't say the words, but, you know, old discussions with the president, and he wants, you know, lower interest rates, but banks need to make money, you know. So he basically was saying, proponent of higher interest rates and whatever. And yet, we're going to issue a 50-year bond because rates are so low, and that'll de-risk the future. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm not an economist, but I took a few in my graduate program, and I know a little bit about it.
Well, what you do is you shift the risk to somebody else. Right?
Yeah, the kids and grandkids.
Well, there's no doubt that if you went out for 50 years and somebody gave you the money at 2.4, that you have done, you've done a lot of stuff for the U.S. government. And right? Now, the trick is now, in a perfect world, if you had decent leaders, which I don't think we do, and haven't for a long time, right or left, I mean, if all of a sudden everything was, let's go back in depression times, okay? Where interest rates were very low, obviously, because the economy was, there was no demand for money because nobody was doing anything. Sort of like now. There's no demand for money because you're not seeing much on the low end pile up. It's all just big companies getting bigger. Not all, but I mean, it's not as much.
Well, stock buybacks or, you know, Apple, you know, refinancing, with debt, even though they got $145 billion sitting in cash. I mean, yeah, it's a joke. The debt is a joke.
But if you could, in the year 1932, go out and borrow for 50 years at, say, 2% and borrow all this money, and you went out and you made investments like were available at the time. I don't know what I'd pick one today. If you did stuff like the TVA, if you did the Brooklyn Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, if you did Hoover Dam, you did all that stuff
that were massive infrastructure improvements, but they weren't fixing a bridge that you would allow to deteriorate, where you get back to the same place. These are opening up huge areas for commerce, right? So the return on that probably is way more than the 2 or 2.3% that you're paying on the bond. It's not even close. Your return might be 6% or 7% of what the electricity you got out of Hoover Dam and created the Imperial Valley that you don't have to worry about flooding and blah, blah, blah. You get all this produce. I mean, there are things you can do, I mean, at various times. But right now, we're missing the innovation. We're missing the thought toward the future. Our idea of infrastructure now is replacing a bridge we allow to deteriorate. That's not the same thing as building the Golden Gate Bridge and opening up two sections of the country to each other, right? I mean, it's not even the same.
Yeah, I mean, and I totally agree with you. I do, but I take a slightly different view because whether it's bridges or airports or roads or whatever, yeah, there's decay and deterioration, and we need that, and, you know, that would, you know, have a multiplicative effect on, you know, total output and GDP. The problem is, and it's not really a problem, but when you talk about innovation, we're not the same society as we were. You know, we were manufacturing society and services. You know, there were no PCs or any artificial intelligence or, you know, deep thinking or any of that stuff. Software, the term didn't exist. Now we're a service-oriented economy with 80%, you know, services and 20% manufacturing, and that's borne out by the ISM figures and whatever. So instead of saying, okay, well, we're going to hire, you know, 25 crews to redo this bridge, now it's, do we have the artificial intelligence and the robots to build that bridge? And simplifying and, you know, going a little further than what's realistic. But that's the innovation that you need. Has somebody constructed that software program to lower, you know, the participation of labor to have literally 10 robots instead of 10 crews to redo that bridge?
Well, I guess where I was going, I said it very poorly, David. What I'm saying, what I meant to say in economic terms is, if we're borrowing money for the long term at 2% for whatever you want to call it, capital improvement programs that might return us 6%, that I'm all for. If you borrow money from 50 years at 2% and use it for current spending, that I'm absolutely against, because that's what we've been doing, state, local, and federal, for 20 years, and look at the mess we're in.
You know? Well, yeah, and the money disappears. Okay,
right.
Here's picking a number, $100 million to California to fix their bridges. And somehow, some way, you know, something gets patched up and the rest of the money disappears.
Well, but I'm saying, but they're talking about in general, right now we're borrowing money because we're a trillion in a hole every year in the federal government. So we're borrowing money for that. That doesn't get you anywhere. I'm saying,
I agree.
I'm saying,
that's the issue.
If the budget was balanced and we said, boy, here's $1 trillion. If we had money, we could go get these projects, and the return on these projects is going to be way more than the interest rate we're paying. I'm all for it, but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about going out and getting money because they're $1 trillion in a hole. That's a totally different subject, and we got a lot of people that are confused about that, right?
Oh, yeah, more than a lot, and I mean, I hate to delve into politics, as you know, we're subject, but you know, then you get largely the Democrats, probably some Republicans as well, with, you know, the global warming, which I'm not, you know, a global warming scientist, but I see what's happening with the weather patterns when I go down to Austin to visit my son, and they're playing on, you know, Texas and LSU, and the field temperature is 120, you know, and then I'm camped in a basement last night, you know, here with tornado alerts, literally. I see changes in the weather like I've never seen before. May, when it rains 14 days in a row, I know that something's going on. So I'm all for, you know, saving the planet, and I think the clock is ticking. That said, you know, now whether it's Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or, you know, Biden or maybe some Republicans. So I'm not taking a political side. We need $1 trillion, and we need it fast, and we got 7 to 12 years to fix this thing. Otherwise, it's going to be out of control. It's awesome. Where do you get it? Where do you get the money? How is it financed? Does it actually get where it's intended, and can we fix this thing?
I'm going to say that we can make some moves toward that end, but when as Carl will say, whenever he's on, all we've done is offload the pollution to China and other places.
And now they're trying to offload it back to here.
Right. I think you can do, put it this way, you can do what you can do, as stupid as that sounds, but I think we could make incredible strides in this country just by working on the housing infrastructure in terms of insulation, in terms of this, you know, and there's people that's my big bitch with the federal government wanting interest rates so low. I think that the amount of old people that are living on savings that have not put new windows in when they should have not put a new roof on when they should have is dramatic. You can't just do one thing, and that's what pisses me off about our president. It's not about federal government paying no interest and was a great thing for them. It's about your population earning no interest, right? And you're screwing them. So you don't get to just get something without screwing somebody. That's not the world we live in, right?
And because he's still, regardless of whether his investments are, you know, in blind trust or not, regardless of, you know, how we monitor that or believe it, you know, hey, he's still a huge owner of real estate.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, let's take the Federal Reserve members are boneheads, and they should take the rates to zero or less. I mean, he doesn't understand the implications. It's great for him.
Right. Right.
That, again, is not a political judgment, but it's just reality.
Well, that's right. And I think there's a lot of things here you can do. Can you find a way in an experiment in the Cook County Forest Preserves where next summer we can take 2,000 kids out of some of the, you know, some neighborhoods that maybe aren't the best and plant, you know, 500,000 trees and clear out a lot of decaying underbrush that shouldn't be there and try and turn the Cook County Forest Preserves, push the oxygen creation needle way up in there as an experiment and see how it works. It costs us $1 million. So what? I'm not saying so what, like, you know, I'm a Democrat. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is,
well, you know the Jewish term.
Yeah.
Alibi?
I don't. What?
Let it be.
Well, I'm saying, let's do it on a small scale, which we're trying to solve a bunch of problems at the same time. We're trying to get people not get shot in the summertime and learning something about planting stuff, learning about their environment. And can we, with a controlled experiment, Can we change certain parts of the Cook County Forest Preserve into oxygen-producing areas? One of my buddies from NOAA told me first thing we could do is plant 1 million trees a year.
Look what Israel is.
Yeah, let's take 100,000 houses and let's figure out how we're going to insulate them or do something with them so they use less energy. The Willis Tower, I read once somebody was talking about redoing the whole place. It's single pane glass. They said if you redid that place properly, replaced all the glass with double pane, all the roofs that stop, you know, and there's the one next to it that's all, you know, the way it's built. If you put three or four little, the nice looking windmills up there, not the ones that look like Dutch colony.
No, I know what you mean.
I mean, if you put those up there, they said you could save enough energy in that building for like 1,000 houses or something. I mean, it's unbelievable, David. I mean, with the glass expands. Well, let's try it in three or four spots. See how well we do. If it works, I'm willing to try anything on a small scale. And if it doesn't work,
how do we elect you? I would come off my independent, you know, position and vote for you.
I don't know anywhere near enough about foreign policy and who the foreign leaders are.
You don't need to be. You could be a city councilman and get that done in Willis Towers.
Well. Right, but I'm saying, to say that there's nothing we can do is, we can start tomorrow. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, right? I mean, I mean, can we fix all the problems of global warming tomorrow? No. But can we make some strides in this area? And by the way, if all of a sudden it looks like in this area of the forest preserve, boy, we went from a neutral oxygen situation. What I'm talking about it is that the one of my buddies was doing oxygen studies all over the world with NOAA. And when you have new growth versus old decaying growth, you get out of an equilibrium and actually you create more oxygen than you're losing. And, you know, should we redo some forest preserve areas, make them look nicer, get jobs to people, and all of a sudden, by the way, give us some air to breathe? I why not try it for a summer or two and see how we're doing, David? I mean, we've had worse ideas.
And again, I've never been, but from, 50 people that I've seen and seen slides and whatever, I mean, that's what Israel does. I mean, yeah. Worldwide, they've raised money for only one purpose, to plant trees and make a desert into greenness, and they don't have those kind of problems, even though it's far hotter than here.
See, they're the ones that are changing the world, the global warming. Maybe it's because of the Israelis.
Maybe.
I don't think so. But they've learned how to grow crops in the desert by having these water-saving type things. I went to a vineyard, David, and they're talking about how they water in some of these vineyards in California, there's no water. They have this little tiny hose, and they drop like 10 drops of water like right on the roots. So none of it gets wasted. And you're sitting there, how could you grow a plant with that? Because it all goes right into the plant. They don't waste any of it.
Right.
They don't sprinkle the whole vineyard. They just go right for the... Anyway, David, I think we're going to new highs here. What do you think? Real quick, you got 30 seconds.
I think if we do, we'll back off from it. All the oscillators are, not all of them, relative strength, they're not so extended. All the stochastics are. I truly think we'll either fail at the highs or poke them out and then back off.
Really? Okay. XP futures up 7.25. NASDAQ futures up 49. Right now we're red hot. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.